Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Great song. Absolutely great song. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Ray Dittinger with us as well. And as always, you can join the program at 888-729-9494. We'll get to some of the more notable stuff Howie Roseman has said over the last 2 days. Let's go to the phones right now and talk to Donna in Delaware. What's happening, Donna?
How are you?
Hello, Donna.
So I love your show. I listen all the time. I wanted
Thank
to call
you.
Today because you're welcome. It's a rare occasion where I actually agree with Joe today.
Yeah, well, welcome to wisdom.
Yeah. Well, I just with what Howie said, I 100% do not see it as a rebuild. To me, a rebuild feels more like what you know Miami's doing, where they trade away half their good players and try to accumulate as many draft picks as possible. Like,
well, you know, he said that they did that.
Well,
he said last year we traded guys away in season that we knew could still
play because
we wanted draft picks.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't see it as the same type of thing. Like, you knew Miami wasn't going to be competing.
Correct.
Like, you knew what they're doing,
until
and we're
they
not
played
doing
us.
That. Yeah, so, like, we have our friend. Yeah, I know. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to because it hurts too much.
I know.
But, no, we have our franchise quarterback is heading into his prime right now.
Like, I agree with that.
I truly, with the way he played last year, like, and he's shown so much, like, I believe that Howie is going to, as you know, much as he's moving in a new direction, I think that he's still going to be able to construct a roster that's going to help him win now and not, you know, several years from now. Like, I think I think they're still going to try to be competitive. It's not like a rebuild where you knew, like I said.
I agree, Donna. I agree
with
you.
Miami wasn't competitive.
I'm
with
you.
You
know, I'm saying that Howie is expressing a belief that things are going to operate differently. Howie is also sort of couching this all in this idea that, hey, this is like a new world. The team that won the Super Bowl, I tried to keep that thing alive too long, and it failed. And now this team is different. This team is going
John,
to be different.
You're seeing that as like a negative thing, though. You're trying to make that to be negative, and it's actually what needs to happen.
I agree. It is what needs
to happen.
I'm not saying – listen,
You sound negative.
It is a positive that the decline should be, like, halted. There was a decline in the 2 years since the Super Bowl, and he's trying to go in a different direction. He's telling us, guys – like, I got a plan A and a plan B and a plan C, and hopefully I don't have to get plan D. But, you know, things don't always go as planned.
Yeah.
And this –
well, that's true. We learned that with Deshaun last year.
You're
there
right.
was no plan B for him. So I'm glad they have a plan B.
The
I
thing
hope
that's
they have
scary,
a plan B and a plan C.
I agree. But the thing that's scary is I think this plan is comprised of a bunch of players that are as yet unnamed. And I think they're very young.
Yeah.
And inexperienced.
All right, Donna, what do you got for a famous doctor?
How about Dr. Kevorkian?
Oh, my goodness. There you go. Donna, it was such a good call until the end. No. Thanks, Donna. Appreciate it. That's a haymaker.
That's what I was thinking of as Dr. Death earlier.
Dr. Death, Kenny said he was a guy who played cornerback like in the early 70s
early to mid-70s for the Raiders. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rady, do you have a best?
Alonzo Skip Thomas.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
That's who it was. Dr. Death.
Rady, you have a best famous doctor, real person or fictional? Best famous doctor.
Well, I mean, what's it say about me that the first person I think of is Julius Erving?
Yeah, well, he came up.
I think that's a great answer.
I'm sure it did.
Yes,
that's
it did.
Joe took that answer, actually.
Did you take that
one? I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Doc.
I would have voted for that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, Doc is, I'm writing this book, you know, about my 50 years in Philadelphia sports, and I devote a chapter to the Sixers, and it's largely about Doc. And what a remarkable athlete he was.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when he came to the Sixers, one of the assistant coaches, a guy named Jack McMahon, great guy, great guy, was talking about, he said, the thing about Julius was, he said that you got to remember his, you know, he went to high school in Long Island. So he was in the shadow of New York City. He wasn't like on the fast track like Lou Alcindor was playing for Power Memorial. He was sort of on the fringes. He said, and then he goes to the University of Massachusetts, which also on the fringes.
Yeah.
And he said, then he signs and turns pro, and he goes to the ABA.
Yeah.
And he's playing for the Virginia Squires. So he said, so this is a guy that was never actually in the spotlight. He said, yet everybody in basketball knew who he was.
Yeah.
Without ever playing in a big-time setting, he said, you go to anybody in basketball and say the doctor, and they know exactly who you're talking about. He said, that's how transcendent this guy was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a lot of talk about when the Sixers went to sign him and everything, but, I mean, I'm sure you remember his first night as a Sixer.
Well, I was not yet born, but otherwise.
But I'm sure you've heard the story. I'm sure you know the story that, you know, he gets introduced his first night as a Sixer and runs out onto the court, you know, Dave Zinkoff does the, you know, Julius Erving, and he runs out on the court. And a guy named Steve Soames, who was one of those courtside, one of the first courtside seat guys, you know, right there on the floor, runs out onto the floor with a doctor's kit and hands it to him at center court.
Wow.
The first time he's introduced. And, of course, the place just goes crazy.
Awesome.
And, you know, from that point on, he owned the city.
Yeah. Now, well, I'll tell you this. I think Doc is the most revered Philadelphia athlete nationally of the last 50 years. By leaps and bounds. There is no Philadelphia athlete that was more beloved across the nation.
Not just beloved, but like the respect for the athleticism. You're talking about athletes.
Well, I'm talking the whole package. I mean, that whole retirement tour thing.
The athleticism, but
started
the class.
Doc.
The class.
Oh, totally.
I guess the persona, the
revered. I mean, Doc was royalty. He was American sports royalty. Like, him and Mike Schmidt were contemporaries, and they were obviously comparable. And I think probably most people would say Mike Schmidt was probably better.
Yeah.
Close. But, I mean, Dr. J, nationally speaking, from a reverence standpoint, leaps and bounds past Mike Schmidt.
Yeah.
Leaps and bounds.
Oh, for sure. And one of the ways they differed was that Doc understood and didn't mind being the ambassador of his game.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas Schmidty, he didn't want that. You know, Schmidty wanted to be Schmidty. You know, he wanted to get his four ABs, you know, and play the game, take a shower, and go home. You know, Doc got it.
Yeah.
You know, Doc understood his importance to the NBA as a whole. And he lived it every day. One quick story I will tell you. For all the great moments of highlights of Doc's career, and I saw all of them, if you ask me what's my one single most vivid memory of Julius, it was a game in Milwaukee that they lost, a playoff game, Sunday afternoon game, and I'm riding the bus to the airport with the team. It was a rare time when I was actually traveling with the team. And we're all sitting on the bus. The bus is running. The driver's standing outside, and we're waiting for Julius. And he was always the last guy out of the locker room, because he would answer every question, fill up every tape recorder. So everybody's on the bus, and we're waiting. Okay, the door opens. Julius comes out. And there's this little kid who's standing there by the door, and he's been trying to get autographs. He has a Sixers pennant, and he's trying to get guys to autograph. And the bus driver had been kind of shooing him away. And Julius comes out, and he sees the kid standing there, and he stops. And the bus driver's saying, come on, Doc, we got to go. Mm-hmm. Julius stops, takes the pennant out of the kid's hand, and signs it. Not only that, he then takes the pennant on the bus and walks down and asks every other player on the team to sign the pennant.
Wow.
Then he walks it back outside and hands it to the kid and says, here you go.
That is amazing.
You asked me what's my one – and listen, there were no TV cameras around. He's not doing this for an audience. He's just doing it because he's Doc.
Wow.
You know, and you asked me my most vivid memory of him. You know, I could pick any game against Larry Bird.
Sure.
I could pick his dunk over Michael Cooper. I could pick any of that. But to me, you know, what is it they say? That you reveal your real self when no one else is watching?
Yep. Yeah.
That was kind of it to me. I mean, that's the kind of guy he was.
Wonderful.
That is the most rare, unexpected story about a star that big.
Superstar.
To me.
Yeah.
No one does that. Does that.
No, that's amazing.
And the guys who are that big are the opposite end of the spectrum. They're like, get away from me. I need time. Just give me some respect. I can't be signing everything for everyone. That's really awesome.
All right, to the phones we go, 888-729-9494, and Bill in Richmond. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
That story, Ray, of Dr. J, that's actually really cool. Really, like you said, shows who he was.
Real special guy.
Person.
Real special guy. He really is.
Thanks for sharing that, too. I have to say something to Joe here. I have to say welcome to wisdom here to you, buddy.
Why's that?
A few months ago, I was beating, you know, my hands on the table saying the only team in Philadelphia that even has a ability or should make a trade or try to make their team better was the Flyers.
Hmm.
Because I said they were that good. And you said, nah, they're okay. They're better than they were, you know, but they're kind of like an average team.
Yep, that's what you're right. Listen, that's what I thought. I was wrong. They're absolutely better than I thought. They may even be better than they thought they would be. Maybe. Maybe not. They're certainly better than I thought they'd be. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think in Philadelphia, it's time. I mean, we were in there in 2010 and, 99 with the whole Legion of Doom line and stuff?
Well, the cup was 90. Cup appearance was 97 in 2010. Yeah, and then obviously Game 7 in the Eastern Finals in 2000 and 2004. So, they'd be the strongest. But a lot of those other years, you know, to the second round and all that. All right, Bill, what do you got here for making the playoffs almost every year for a while. Bill, what do you got for a famous doctor?
It's got to be the father of Western medicine and the Hippocratic Oath, Hippocrates.
Oh, all right, there you go, Bill. All right, how about that?
Jeez.
Do we know that he was an actual doctor?
Well, yeah.
I'm asking the question.
Well,
I'm just
he healed people and cared for people and taught how to heal people.
I mean, just because you're of that ilk, I mean, did he get the designation? Did he get the certificate in school?
I mean, he's living in ancient Greece.
I'm just saying, you don't have
med school.
Ray, would he count? I mean, we need a ruling here.
He was med school.
If he was med school but did not get the certificate,
mm-hmm.
Is he a doctor?
Yes. If he's healing people, if he's healing people, he's a doctor.
Yeah.
All right. Ray has spoken. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Watch and wager on all pro and college sports at the Casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook, the region's number one sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. All right, today's question. Who has a better chance to win a championship this year? A, the Flyers, B, the Sixers. Now, before we get to the results and, John, your prediction, let's all go on the record with our own opinion here. Mm-hmm. I'll start with Mr. James Seltzer. James, better chance to win a title this year, Flyers or Sixers?
Yeah, it's been Flyers for me for a few weeks now.
Okay, I will also go with Flyers. I will say it just flipped for me this week. Ray, what would be your answer there? Better chance to win it all this year?
I would probably say Flyers.
Okay, Mr. Richie.
I agree with you guys.
All right. Let's get to the results.
Yeah.
John, where do you think they've come in?
I think this has to be a landslide. It's going to be 90+% 91% say Flyers.
80%, which is still really high.
Huge, yeah.
And considering that, I mean, I know, James, you've been saying a couple weeks, look, my interpretation of people, and I can be wrong. I was wrong in fourth grade about something one time. I think up until 2 weeks ago, I think it would have been a landslide the other way.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's fascinating, though. And listen, some of this is Ben Simmons, but honestly, I don't even think of this that much Ben Simmons injury-oriented. I mean, I think if Ben Simmons was healthy, the Sixers are going to make the playoffs. I mean, maybe get to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe beat the Bucks.
Man, you know.
But, I mean, no shot against the Lakers and Clippers.
This is
no
something
shot.
We got to talk about, though. Like, are the Sixers better if Joel gets in gear and becomes the Joel we all know he can be?
Not better without Ben.
I don't know, man.
Not better.
You can't say that.
Enjoy your time with Neto. No, not better.
No, it's not Neto.
Well, you know what? Any combination, all that. Come on.
I'm saying, no, you have someone bring the ball down. I think Richardson does a nice job. I mean, I think you got Richardson a nice job.
We
just brought in. Glenn Robinson III could be a facilitator.
Here's my thing. You do not lose the second best player on the team.
The problem is
and have a better chance
to win
a title.
The defensive side of the thing.
The problem is talent.
But just look at the other side of this poll, though.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I agree with all of you guys, and 80% of your listeners agree. But we're saying that the Flyers have a better chance to win a championship than the Sixers, and we don't even know if the Flyers are going to make the playoffs.
That's amazing.
I mean, we're talking they have a better chance to win the championship, and you know the Sixers are going to walk into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You don't even know if the Flyers are going to make it, and yet people are saying we give them a better chance to win it.
Now, Richie, why can't you make comments like that every once in a while? I get 1 hour from Ray a week. Yeah. I get 20 hours I'm stuck with you. That's a good comment right there. All right,
you dumb me down.
Well, there you go. All right, let's get to Howie Roseman. Some of the best of what he said over the last couple of days. We'll start with where a lot of this began about team roster construction and philosophy with what he said yesterday. We'll get Ray's reaction. We'll just kind of move as quick as we can through a couple cuts here. Here's Howie Roseman yesterday.
Because we had 10 picks over a two-year period, we sat there and felt like, and we paid Carson, and we have a lot of highly paid players on our team. We felt like we needed a year where we knew we were going to have double-digit draft picks. And so, you know, I look at it that some of those guys that we released during the season, they're good players, and they were good players for the teams that they went to after they came to us. But for us going forward to have those picks and to know we had those picks was important to sitting here now and feeling like we're going to have 10 picks and we need that amount of guys. Now, when we look at it, I think the scenario changes a little bit in terms of if we can get the right free agents. We're not in a mode now where maybe we try to find the undervalued older guys that we try to find the last couple of years. And going forward, we're trying to build this over a period of time. We're not kind of in this one-year window. We talked about it again in January about how looking at this 2020, 2021, 2022 in this three-year period of getting guys who are part of it, I guess kind of similar to how we looked at free agency in maybe 2016 and 17.
In 2021, you don't really have many players that are scheduled to become unrestricted free agents. I think it's just Malcolm, really, as far as the starters go. Does that free you up maybe to be able to spend more this offseason and, you know, knowing that you have that situation coming up?
Yeah, I think the one thing we got to be careful of is the amount of cap room we have this year and then how it's affected next year and the years going forward, because we don't want to be in a position where we lose flexibility totally by doing that. So we're hopeful that if we go into the free agent market that maybe we're signing guys that are more core guys than more one or two-year guys. And we look at it from building our team over a 2-3 year perspective as opposed to just kind of this 1 year window.
Right, that's how we rose.
That's huge
yesterday.
Right there. That really strikes me, and it didn't initially, but all the talk, everything we've listened to from Howie today, I think they're gonna make some noise with big name signees who are young, who you can gift with that gigantic multi-year deal. And, you know, of course, my mind goes to Amari Cooper.
Right. And then Clowney would be another one to consider.
Yeah.
And I'm not as high on him.
I think they're going to do that.
I don't either, but I'm just saying he's another one.
He's also not as young, though.
He's not as young, and he's been more injury prone.
Like Yannick Ngakoue maybe would be the type of guy if he's not franchised or something.
Yes.
All right, now, Ray, so.
Well, okay, on the one thing that was said in another, I don't remember which interview it was, but when he was asked about, I guess it was Angelo. Angelo asked him about the wide receiver position and, you know, what positions he's going to prioritize. Remember, he went to the offensive line. He also, when he was talking about the defensive side of things, the guys who get after the quarterback up front. Right now, they can't feel good about the guys who get after the quarterback. you can sign a core guy, as he puts it,
yep.
who will be around for a while, who is available free agent-wise as a defensive end. Not so, you know, I don't know how they feel about these cornerbacks who are free agents. I know that you've got some slam dunks, in my opinion, pass rushers. You got some slam dunks, or one sure. in particular as a wide receiver.
And listen, how he came up, I mean, through Andy Reid and Joe Banner, and yes. that was their philosophy. There is no doubt about it. All right, so it's pretty well laid out. However you want to brand it, however you want to term it, rebuild, retool, reload, whatever, it's pretty well laid out. He's got a different approach up ahead. But then that approach is kind of met with confusion amongst millions when it's like, well, what about Jason Peters? If you follow everything that was said yesterday, it kind of sounds like they want to get Jason Peters back. He was asked, Howie Roseman was asked about Peters yesterday and the philosophy on older quality Eagles. Here's what Howie had to say.
Have you made a decision about Jason Peters and going under the door?
Yeah, I think as it pertains to all of our free agents, you know, I think it's important that as we go through this process, we keep an open mind with everyone and try to figure out as we get more information. A big part of this week is accumulating information. That's what we'll do here. You know, obviously when you're talking about Jason Peters, you're talking about a Hall of Fame player, a Hall of Fame person, someone who's very special to us and, you know, played it at a really high level last year. So we'll go through all those decisions this week, and that'll kind of be my stock answer as it goes to every free agent we kind of talk about here.
Have you learned, though, with players of that magnitude, I guess, in the franchise's history, that you kind of have to deal with it a little differently than other players?
Well, there's no question. When you talk about guys that are historic players in the National Football League, guys who are going to the Hall of Fame, guys who are going to the Eagles Hall of Fame, those guys are special people and special players, and you don't have a lot of those during the course of your career. And so you try to make decisions first that are best for the football team, and at the same time have respect and appreciation for what guys have done and what guys have done going forward and are going to be part of your organization for a long period of time.
All right, that's Howie Roseman yesterday. Ray, a basic question for you. If the Eagles do not believe in Andre Dillard, should they want Jason Peters back as a starting left tackle?
I'm a no on this one. I really am.
We are too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Look, everything they say about him, Hall of Famer, absolutely. Was not that many years ago the best left tackle in football, hands down. All of that's true. But that we're not talking about that. You know, we're talking about what he represents now. Maybe I'm way off base on this, but if they were rock-solid believers in Andre Dillard, this would be a whole different conversation.
Wouldn't even be a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly, the plan was they drafted Andre Dillard with the idea that they were going to get one more year out of Peters, they were going to let him go, save the money, and plug the kid in, and he was going to be your left tackle because they thought he was all that. It could be that after 1 year, they're not as sure about that. And Jason Peters says, I want to play, and they're not prepared to cut the cord. I just think it would be a mistake. I just think it would be a mistake. I mean, he, you know, they're talking about he played at a really high level last year. Really? I mean, I didn't see it. I mean, you get past the idea that you never knew from week to week if he was going to play mm-hmm. or how many snaps he was going to play. But I'll tell you, I watched him play. I thought he was average, you know. I really thought – I just didn't see – I mean, he's way past the point of being great.
Right.
And now he's – now with this guy I saw last year, he had some good games, but he had other games where he got handled. And now you're going to sign on for another year of that, plus the uncertainty about whether physically he can hold up. I just think this sort of runs counter to all the other stuff Howie's talking about.
Oh, totally.
I mean, he's laying out one blueprint right. for everybody else,
right.
but now he's got another blueprint at left tackle.
It's amazing.
He's no longer the elite, nimble athlete as a left tackle. He was that perfect combination of size and athleticism where he could road grate you in the run game and he could also, you know, match foot quickness with anybody. He doesn't have either of those things. He's getting bull rushed now. He's getting beat with speed. He's getting beaten. Beaten, not consistently, but way more than a good left tackle gets beaten.
Right.
So, yeah, he'll grate you every once in a while, but that does not balance out the bad.
I'm with you. Ray, always a pleasure, sir.
My pleasure, fellas.
The daddy, Mr. Ray Dininger, every Wednesday with us for an entire hour starting at 12:45. Coming up next, time's yours. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.